Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Panier. Unfortunately, my good buddy Kevin Lucco is not able to join us this week, but I have the honor of all-time great Pete Rose Jr. joining me this week. Pete, welcome to the show.
Thanks, buddy. It's always a pleasure, and the honor's all mine, man, to be in the company of yourself again. It brings a big smile to my face, so I'm happy to be here, man.
Well, you know, I have to say up front that it's kind of sad. When you were the Wichita Wingnuts manager, you and I did a weekly podcast show. I loved that time, and it's sad that we're not able to do that still.
Yeah, you know what it is. Obviously, getting to, you know, talk to you on a weekly basis, and, you know, obviously you being in Wichita, I get to see you more on a daily basis. But, you know, I miss the fans' questions and interacting with them, and not only our fans in Wichita, but, you know, throughout the league. So, you know, who knows, maybe in the, you know, near future, maybe I can get back and put the uniform on and maybe we can, you know, do it again, just sit down and chat once a week. It was great. I mean, I enjoyed every minute of it. And, you know, it's kind of like managing. I tell everybody, it's, you know, being a manager, people don't realize it's the friendships you get to keep for the rest of your life from your players. But, you know, I got to keep one in you, and, you know, we still communicate, you know, pretty often. So, I think we both won on that situation, regardless that we're not doing it right now, but maybe down the road we'll get back to it.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people would be interested in this point is, why isn't Pete Rose Jr. in baseball right now? So kind of what's going on with you these days?
Well, I have two kids, and just kind of being I'm a glorified clubhouse guy, you know, doing laundry and packing lunches and doing carpools. Just enjoying to be around them and running them places and watching their games and just kind of being a normal person. But I don't know. I don't know why. It's been a couple crazy years, you know, since Wichita went under. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I guess you never say never, but I'm not the type of guy that's going to go out and beg somebody and, you know, try to do everything I can just to get back in. I want to win a ring. I mean, I know we won one in 17. Obviously, we didn't get the ring, but you know how that scenario ended. But you know, that's what I want to do. I want to do it for my guys that, you know, maybe you're still playing or maybe want to come back and play. I think they deserve that. But I don't know. It's organized a little kind of, I don't know. It's just too much stuff going on there for me. I'm an old school guy, so I'm really not up to date on the analytics stuff. I'm not a big fan of it. Maybe some of it, but. You know, maybe a few things of it, but not a lot of it. I'm just in the business of going out and playing ball. So we'll see. But I don't know. That'd be a better question to ask the people in, let's say, the American Association, or maybe even the Frontier League, or maybe even the Atlantic League. But, you know, maybe someday we'll get back in.
Well, it's funny you mentioned about 2017, because there was a tweet by the broadcaster of the Winnipeg Gold Eyes a couple of days ago about how that was one of his greatest baseball moments. And I thought, you know, I think that was one of the saddest baseball moments, to be honest with you.
No doubt about it. It still hurts, but I think if I really sit down and think about it, I hurt more for my guys. And you know, it's funny is, everybody asked me why I didn't flip my lid. Well, I really couldn't, and I really couldn't believe I didn't, because usually, if you obviously, you know me, my reputation, I'm gonna lose it anyway. But we still had another out to get, and you know what? It's nobody's gonna steal third in that situation. The Mandarin, which is Kuz, he does the same thing every time. So you know what? And on one other note, somebody's going to tell the catcher, hey, man, go out and tell him to stop. You're going to get a courtesy warning regardless, and especially in that situation, unless there's something else going on. But, you know, it is what it is. You can't change it. It's part of it. You know, I congratulated Rick. He's a good friend of mine. I love him to death. They had a great team. It was a great series. But you know what? After that night and we lost, you know, you could have gave us every other National League or American League All-Star, and we still would have lost. It just kind of ripped our hearts out, and that was kind of a wrap. So I hated to see it. I looked at it for a second and clicked it off, but it still hurts. Still hurts.
Well, let's talk a little bit about baseball right now. You know, the coronavirus is kind of shut down sports altogether. So what kind of impact do you think this has on the game when it finally gets back on the field?
You know, I don't know. That's a great question because I think you still got to go to the ballpark. You still got to play. But I think once you kind of realize what happens maybe after you get it and kind of the long-term stuff, hopefully it's like they're saying, maybe it's like the flu. Don't ask me. I'm not one of those guys. But, you know, hopefully it does nothing. Hopefully they just get back to playing baseball and fans get back to going to the ballpark. You know, that's just a – it's a great time of year. I mean, everybody looks forward for opening day. We got the parade here in Cincinnati. But I don't know. That's a great question. I just know it's going to be maybe longer what people expect, and I think that's a good thing just to be safe and sorry. But, you know, I think at the bare minimum, maybe they just play it on TV with no fans, you know, or play with no fans, and that way, you know, I guess we can watch at home, you know, maybe if that's an alternative. But still, you're putting the players at risk, you know, being around each other if there's a risk. You know, I don't think it's worth the risk, but hopefully they figure out what's going on here with this virus, and we get back to playing baseball here, you know, real soon. Because, you know, I know me and my son, you know, we enjoy sitting down and watching baseball, and you know, we've been watching a lot of reruns, you know, old games and stuff like that. But you know, I'm hoping it gets back here soon. But you know, I wouldn't think maybe till June, maybe. But you know, hopefully I'm wrong.
Well, there's probably 7,000 great games of your dad's that you could go out and watch or sell.
There's a lot of great games of my dad that, and we have watched, it seems like, about 7,000 of them. But they're, it's great to watch. You know, it's great to watch old baseball because you look at today's game and you look at the back in the day game, and they were just all about going out and playing ball. And it didn't matter, you know, how long it took. It didn't matter what they did. It didn't matter this. It didn't matter that. It's me against you. Here it comes. You try to hit it, and we'll go from there. It wasn't about this shift. You know, it's a way the game's supposed to be played, and it stinks, you know, right now with all the other kind of stuff that's going on with the game that it's kind of made it, I don't know, for the purists, I guess you want to call us, or the old-timers, it's just it's really not fun to get out and do and play and watch as much as it is watching like a 75 World Series or an 80 World Series or even a 90 World Series. So, you know, hopefully it gets back to that at some point.
Well, let's talk about kind of the way that they're trying to change baseball. They're trying to appeal to younger fans and speed up the game. So, well, I mean, let's first of all just kind of discuss fundamentals. Pitcher mound moved back 2 feet, bases made bigger. Well, what are your thoughts about kind of the change of the look of the game?
I don't know why you need to change the look of the game. I don't know what that's going to do if you move the pitcher's mound back. It's going to help the hitters if you want more offense. You know, I don't know what that's going to do. I don't know how that's going to speed it up. You know what I mean? I don't know what the bases. I guess if they move the bases further apart, is that going to even out them moving the pitcher's mound back? So, it's a slow game. But I think the reason why it's a slow game to the younger generation is because. Obviously, and I'm a big fan of it too, but, you know, MLB The Show just came out, so that's a lot faster than you sitting down or even going outside the way me and you used to do it back when we were young, where you went out and you played, and you went outside and you threw a ball against the wall, you played pickle, some people call it a hot box, you got neighborhood games. I think that's how you get the game appealing to the younger generation, but, you know, with all the technology and everything, I think that's the reason why it's slow because, you know, kids today, they're used to just hitting X, getting the next batter, getting the next pitch, and the game moving that fast. And, you know, when you do it in real life, it's a lot slower than so-called watching a video game. So, you know, I don't know if you can speed it up for the younger generation. I don't know if there's a way to do that. And I think the ways that they're trying to do it, you know, I don't know if it's going to work. I really don't. I mean, I think they're just trying to just make up stuff with the pitch clock and this and that and, you know, all the other stuff, which, hey, baseball's made to be played the way baseball's made to be played. No clock. You know, it's 27 outs, you know, 9 innings, and if you don't have a winner, you go from there. So I like it the way it is or the way it was, and I think it should be that way.
You know, and watching your management style, you seem like a guy who defined, this is my sixth inning guy, this is my seventh inning guy, this is kind of my closer kind of thing. So when I look at rule changes like a pitcher has to go 3 batters, before you can take him out or something. I mean, I gather by the way that you manage that isn't a big a deal, but that's still a strategy I would assume you don't want to lose.
Sure, you don't want to lose it, but you're exactly right. And you know what? when you have Devines and Campbells and Kuzmals and Frankie Reeds and Nadings and Harveys and guys like that, to where if we're in the seventh inning and Mike Devines in the game, he can face 10 guys. I don't really care. And I think, you know, that's what managers, I want to say today, don't understand, or maybe big league managers. You know, at the end of the day, it's about your guy versus their guy. And when in 16 and 17, you weren't going to beat my guy, so you know what? My job was really easy. We and people might not know this. We didn't have signs. We weren't going to bunt. We weren't going to hit and run. I was going to let my guys play. You know, if we had to do something late in the game, hey, maybe that's a different story. Maybe playing the infield in, or, you know, maybe putting a bunt play on or something because other people were trying to do this. But as a manager, if you believe in your guys, it doesn't matter if you have a three batter minimum or a one batter minimum or whatever. I just knew that Devine was going to throw the seventh, Nading was going to throw the eighth, and Frankie Reed was going to throw the ninth. Period. It didn't matter if my life was dependent on it. If we were up by seven, or maybe not seven, if it was a tight game, that's what was going to happen. And you know what? We never got away from that. And I think if you do that in the big leagues, yeah, I think your players play better because they know that you believe in them. You know, if I got a guy that's going out there thinking, you know, I'm going to have to take him out after he faced a lefty. No, you're left-handed. I don't really care. Face this lefty and then face the next two right-handers. It's your inning. Go get it. You know, I think that brings the best out in your players. So, you know, I don't really mind the three-batter minimum because we actually did that, and I never really thought about it until you said that. But that's just me believing in my guys. And I think if managers start doing that more and not rely on analytics so much, man, you win a lot more baseball games. It's just – as a player, if you have confidence from your manager that it doesn't matter if you give up two runs, you're still pitching. It doesn't matter if you strike out twice. You know, you're still playing. You know, it gives you a boost as a player, and it lets you kind of relax, go out and be yourself and show the real you. So, you know, I don't mind that rule change, but, you know, I think kind of the other ones where you're saying with the pitcher's mound back and the bases spread out, the pitch clocks, you know, all the technology stuff, I don't know. I just think it's a waste of time for me. I think they're trying to, like you said, trying to get the younger generation involved with the track man and the launch angle and all this other BS that they do, you know, to make it more technology savvy, so to speak.
You know, I've always felt that you're kind of hurting a player by, you know, he's got 27 appearances and 12 innings pitched, you know, kind of thing. And you're making him feel like this is all that he can do was get one select batter out. And I wonder if you're kind of, I mean, you're a guy who's looking at the long term for a guy's career, and I would assume that would really hurt somebody, that all the manager can count on for this guy is one batter, and then you got to yank him out.
No question about it. But on the other hand, how do you know if you never put him in a spot to get those other guys out? You never know that. So he could be a left-handed specialist, but when you leave him in the face to two righties, now all of a sudden he's a lefty that's a right-handed specialist. But you never know that. It's kind of like when you watch travel ball teams, when you have guys that hit eighth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and even tenth, when you make them bunt. Well, why would you make them bunt in travel ball? It doesn't matter. Let them swing away. And that's the kind of the same thing I do with my teams in Wichita. It didn't matter if you hit ninth. It didn't matter if you hit eighth. You weren't going to bunt. If you bunted, it was on your own, and I was probably going to let you have it, you know, when you came back, because I want you to hit. But you got to get comfortable in those situations. And, you know, I think the more you do that, you know, the more you're going to understand what type of player you are. But you're right. I mean, I think it always hurts guys. But, you know, if I can sit there and pay a guy like a Zach Britton to be a left-handed specialist a whole lot of money, I don't think they're going to complain about it. But I'm sure he can get right-handed hitters out too, because that's what kind of stuff he has. You know what I'm saying?
So as you watch this last baseball season go on in Major League Baseball, you know, the big story now is the Houston Astros and their situation. What are your thoughts about what went on there?
You know, Robert, I've talked about, you know, all my players, and to this day we keep in contact. And, you know, I was talking to TJ Mittelstadt the other day when this kind of stuff came out, and I said, you know, I remember we were somewhere, and I'm not going to say where we were, and I told these guys on the bench, I'm going to start putting signs on, and I want you to watch people react. Mind you, we didn't have any signs. And if you asked any one of my guys, I would much rather tell you to go out and tell the other team what's coming, because I don't really care if you do that, because I believe in you guys. And it's funny, if you really need to do this, then maybe you need to rethink on what you have as a team. and maybe kind of reevaluate yourself. Because if I would think that, as a player, Robert, I didn't want to know what was coming, because it wasn't my style. It reminds me of when you get to spring training, when pitchers tell you what's coming, you're always early on the fastball because you know it's coming, and then you're always late on the breaking ball because you're telling yourself to stay back, stay back, stay back, so you end up getting jammed. So I never wanted to know what was coming. But on the other hand, when you go to this level to do it, it's kind of like, if you really need to do that, you might want to reevaluate. It's just because I knew my teams in Wichita, they could have said, hey, they know our signs. I would have said, fine, let them know. Better yet, tell them what's coming. It's not going to change what we're going to do. And to be honest with you, it wasn't going to change the outcome, because my guys have to get your guys out, and my guys got to hit off of your guys, which I think my guys are going to do a better job. So it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's really hard to swallow, but it just doesn't make any sense for me as a manager. And even as a player, if I was on that team, I wouldn't want to know what was coming, just because it'll play tricks with your brain. I just go back to the beginning of spring training, just knowing when the pitcher's telling you. But as a manager standpoint, the way I do things, Robert, we could have told the other teams what were coming. Here, these are our signs. We don't have any offensive signs. I can tell you what's coming first and third. Marty's still going to throw you out, even if you know it's coming, stuff like that. So I don't know. It just makes you really shake your head on really what's going on, with all the technology. And, it's crazy. It's just crazy when you just sit back and look at the whole scheme of things. You know what I mean?
You know, the one thing that really jumped out at that whole thing with me, and when he said it, you were one of the first people that I thought of when this was said, was when Rob Manfred said, you didn't win the World Series. Well, it's just a piece of metal. And I thought, right. If you said that in front of Pete Rose Jr., Rob Manfred, you're standing in front of Pete Rose Jr., and you say, hey, the World Series trophy is just a piece of metal. What would have been your response to that, Pete?
I probably would have got banned, maybe like my dad, just because, not because of me, but it's all the hard work for your players. And I think that's what today's game is lost track. It's all about the players. It's all their hard work. It's all their late night trips. It's all their, and you go back to our season, it's all the long bus rides. It's all the bad food, the bad hotels, the bad locker rooms, going into, it's 1,000 degrees. It's the whole process. And I think Justin Turner said it right with the Dodgers when he kind of alluded to the same thing that we're talking about. It's not just a piece of metal. It's something that you get to keep forever. But it reminds you of what you had that year and the group of guys and the blood, sweat, and tears that were put into that season, to where it's not just a piece of metal. Yeah, it is, but it's not. It's more than that. It's more than money. It's about the team. It's about that championship that, you won with those guys. And, it's funny you say that, because our 17 team, these guys are still that tight. I think there's still a group chat today, and we're in 2020. Hmm. And that's the stuff that you talk about. That's the stuff that books are made of. That's the stuff that movies are made about, that these guys are so close because of what they did when they came together and what happened. That's the whole reason why you play. That's why you go out and you leave it all out there on the field. That's why you play for one another. That's why you love one another. And you watch, it's funny, you watch all these sports movies, and I'm like, I think I've said that before, but not because it was said on this movie, or maybe one of my players did this, or, whatever. But it just tells you what kind of special group we had in 16 and 17. But, when you talk about, the World Series title, it's more than just the piece of metal. It's everything else that goes into it. And I think it's a bigger and wider scale within the MLB, just because you got your minor league system, you got your front office staff, you got the people who work at the ballpark, you got your fans, which is triple is what we, you're talking about New York City compared to Wichita and the number of people. So it's just a wider scale and just a larger scale. But I think what Turner was saying was right on the money, because it's about the guys. It's about what, the hard work and the blood, sweat, and tears that they put in every day. And I think he knew he made a mistake. I'll give him a second chance. I mean, I totally understand. He apologized for it, and, everybody moved on. So, hopefully that's out of the way, and they can, get stuff right and move on from here.
Yeah, you know, one of the funny things I see in baseball now, Pete, is that in the 70s was when I first started watching baseball as a kid, and I remember those Yankees teams that won World Series hated each other. I mean, absolutely, five guys had it out of the hotel. They all took five different cabs to get to the ballpark and stuff, you know.
Right.
How is it that kind of baseball has changed where it's more of a brotherhood now, where back, 30, 40 years ago, guys didn't really seem to care about one another?
That's a great question, but if my life depends on it, then I got to answer. I would say it's because of the locker rooms these days. Because, and I'm not talking about American. There's a couple American Association locker rooms, but I'm talking like big league locker rooms. I mean, you don't have to leave. I mean, if you're at home, you could spend the night there. You can wake up, you can have breakfast, you can watch TV. They have so many things. It's just, you want to go to the ballpark just on how nice everything is. You want to spend more time together. And I think back in the day, yeah, clubhouses were nice and they were a lot better than the minor leagues back then. But you didn't have the fancy planes and all this other stuff. And nobody, it wasn't cool to take the bus to the ballpark. Now everybody takes the bus to the ballpark. But I think it's got to be just because obviously I don't want to say the technology, but maybe because of the technology, because you got internet in the locker room, you got all the food you want, you got all the weights, you got air conditioning, you got a comfy chair, you got a huge locker, you got cages with air, you got everything to where, I think in today's game with today's player, they want to go to the ballpark. And I think it's great because the more time you're at the ballpark, the more time you spend with your teammates, the more you're going to get along. I think back in the day, I don't think guys spent time. The big red machine, I remember my dad leaving to go to the ballpark at 1:30, 2 o'clock, and that was a staple. So I think that might have been a rarity, but you don't really hear stories of them fighting each other. I'm sure they did, but you don't really hear stories like you're saying with the Yankees. And I just think guys are so close because they spend a lot more time with one another than what they did back in the 70s, so to speak.
Now, I wanted to ask about this because as the Houston Astros situation came up, your dad mentioned about, how he's kind of being banned from the Hall of Fame, but these guys were clearly, as a whole organization, were cheating. I think your dad had a really kind of point there, is how they're keeping him out and not kind of coming down on these guys.
Yeah, that's a tricky question for me, and I'll put it this way. When you ask a rose question to a rose, I think you kind of know what the answer is going to be.
And that's how we're going with it.
Leave it, and we'll kind of leave it at that. I think you know how I feel about that whole situation just from our conversations and everything else. But, was the punishment severe enough? I don't know. That's not my call. But you know what? I guess it is what it is. I mean, do I want my dad in the Hall of Fame? Absolutely. Do I think my dad will ever get in the Hall of Fame? Probably not. And that's just kind of how I feel. And it's been so long. It's been, what, over 35 years or whatever. I don't even, 80, I can't even count. It's been a long time. But I'm a Rose, so I'm going to tend to the Rose side of things. But you know what? It happened. It's over with. And unlike a lot of other people in the world, I'm just going to move on with it. Whatever happens, happens. It happened. And, hey, they're going to go out and play ball. And do I think they're going to get – probably hit more than a lot more other teams, probably. And I think that probably stems from, the apologies that they kind of came out with, which, hey, if that's the route they wanted to go, I mean, to each their own. I'm sure they're all great guys, and they all made a mistake. And you know what? We're all human, Robert. We all make mistakes. I think that's what people don't realize in today's day. Nobody's perfect. And anybody thinks that anybody's perfect, maybe you're the one that needs to look in the mirror.
As you look at the game and how it's kind of progressing, are there things you would like to see changed, or is this, good just the way it is?
I would love to see it get back to the way that it's supposed to be played. With all the shifts, all this other TrackMan, all the analytics, you got to face this guy, and the launch angle stuff, and, I've said this a zillion times. I'm just about going out and playing ball. I don't need any numbers. I'm going to use my eyes. I'm going to use my brain. And I think that's what today's game is missing. And I think managers are scared to use their eyes when you got a guy that's, let's say he threw 70, he has 60 pitches and he's rolling, but the analytics says that he's got to come out so you can go out and take him out so you don't get yelled at or maybe you get fired. And it's about the paycheck. See, I'm not about that. Never was and never will be. I'm not that corporate guy. So, you know, I just wish it would get back to just, hey, go out and play the game. And whatever happens, happens. If the starters are going to go 8 innings or 9, hey, let him go. I'm not going to take a guy out as a no-hitter, maybe for injury, but, you know, not going to take him out because a piece of paper tells me. Because, you know, the piece of paper is not going to tell me, okay, this guy not feeling good today. Is there something going on at home? Is there something going on, you know, is he struggling with something? Is there family? You know, whatever the case may be. And I think that's a human element that these analytics doesn't, it doesn't factor into their decisions. I think that's what the managers need to do. They need to have more pull to where, you know, hey, you're with them on a daily basis. Hey, this analytics don't tell me anything because I know I can see what he's doing. He's rolling, so I'm going to leave him in. You know what I mean? So maybe they'll get back to just going out playing ball, but I don't really see it in the distant future, but hopefully it does.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that because I think back of guys I watched pitch as a kid, you know, even up into my, you know, my early 20s and 30s when, like Mike Boddicker and Greg Maddux and guys like that, and I would think they wouldn't even get a chance in today's game.
No chance. And see, that's why you got to have a manager that believes in your guys, and that's what I think when you – but now there are some guys that do that. I mean, look at – you can say what you want about Alex Cora, but he believed in his guys. That's why they won. Don't tell me they won because they knew what was coming. Dave Dombrowski said it. He let his manager manage. And I think when you start doing that, it just kind of sets you up for something special where your guys are really going to kind of take off and not, uh-oh, here comes a lefty and I'm out of the game. No, you're still in the game. You know, it's funny, Robert, because I've never seen guys be pinched hit for that are 2-for-2 with a home run and a double because they bring in a left-handed pitcher. I mean, this guy's got a homer and he's got a double. Why are you going to pinch hit for him? Because the paper says he can't hit a left-hander. Well, maybe he can today. You know what I mean? So it's about letting your guys play. And sometimes I scratch my head. Well, a lot of times I scratch my head and just kind of think to myself, man, if I could just kind of snap my finger and change places with somebody, you know, we could win some serious World Series titles. But obviously I can't do that yet. I've been working on it, but I can't do it yet.
As you watch today's game, who are players you kind of like to enjoy watching?
Oh, man. There's a lot of them. I mean, Bellinger's and the Seager's, Yelich's, and I know I'm throwing out big-time players, but Iglesias, I mean, he was in Cincinnati last year. You talk about a gamer, a guy that goes out and just plays hard every day. I mean, those are the type of guys, you know, you love to watch play. I mean, the Braves got a lot of young guys. Freddie Freeman's a guy. I mean, guys that play every day, but guys that go out and play hard every day. Mike Trout's a guy like that. You know, and I'll go back to our team, Mittelstadt, Harry Kane, Prigatanos, Leo Vargas, Stringers, Medinas, all those guys could have played in the big leagues. And people would look at me like I was a monster and I was an alien. I had 8 heads, but all they needed was a chance. And to my baseball ability and my knowledge, there's no doubt in my mind that any of those guys could have stepped right in and did what these guys do today. I think they just needed a chance. And that's what was special about our team, Robert, is those guys went out every day and they played hard every day. I mean, Stringer played the whole second half with two fractured fingers, one on his left hand, one on his right hand. Never said a word, went out and played. And you know what? He played because he played for his teammates. I mean, just the stuff like that you hear in independent ball stories, I think if that ever moves over to the big leagues, our game's going to take off and it's going to be like, oh my God, this is what I'm talking about. And that's a game back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even in the 90s. You know, when you get a team that's not going to let their teammates down because they're, you know, maybe banged up a little bit, those are the teams that win championships.
You know, you talked a little bit in the show about just wanting your guys to play. One of the things that I've been kind of questioning and don't really understand is why the stolen bases kind of died in the game. Is that just purely analytics? And what are your thoughts about it kind of getting back into the game?
You know, maybe they just don't steal because they're playing for the two-run homer. maybe, you know, I love the whole thing back in the days, guys don't like to hit when guys run. Well, last time I checked, if I'm hitting, and I remember, you know, playing in my Long Island or let's say in Bridgeport, I'd rather hit it with a guy on second than a guy on first. So I'm going to tell the guys in front of me, hey, I'll give you a strike. I may even give you two because I want you on second. And I think that, you know, you just got to let guys get up and move. And the thing is, it's like, hey, go get thrown out. You know, I remember Harry looking at me, Harry Kane looked like, I got the green light. Run whenever you want. Leo Vargas, run whenever you want. TJ Middleton, run whenever you want. And you know what? If you get thrown out and it's by a mile and it's embarrassing, you'll know what not to do the next time, and they kind of teach themselves. But, you know, in the big leagues, I think speed's kind of going away from it just because, I don't want to say all the injuries, but maybe, you know, all the injuries maybe. I don't know, maybe guys are scared to run these days. But it was a big part of our game in Wichita, and it wasn't because, you know, I walked in, hey, we got to steal bases. No, hey, if you want to run, you know. So hopefully it gets back. I mean, it's a great part of the game because, you know, now you get guys in scoring position. Now it's a ground ball to second. Now it's another ground ball to second. You got to run. You know, people don't want to take it on that's how easy the game is played. But, you know, I remember as a kid, if you pay attention, my dad told me this, it's if you pay attention to the game, the game's going to tell you what to do. It's going to tell you where to run, where to throw. It's going to tell you how to play. You just got to pay attention. And I think with all the technology that what we've been talking about, guys don't pay attention as much. They're worried about, you know, they're at bat and their video, they're at bat instead of watching, you know, let me get on the iPad and see this. No, let me just use my eyes and, you know, let me watch the guy ahead of me who hits left-handed. And, you know, I hit left-handed, so he's probably going to pitch me the same. So now I'm just watching how he pitches him as opposed to looking at the iPad and looking at the numbers and this guy and that guy. And it's, you know, it's funny because I tell a couple of my buddies, you know, if the analytics says when this guy gets you to two strikes, he's going to throw 99% of the time, he's going to throw you a curveball. Okay, well, you don't need the Houston Astros sign-stealing scheme. All you got to do is go up, swing through two, and then just sit on a breaking ball. It's the same thing, right?
So, that's interesting.
I mean, why, you know what I mean? And it's funny because, you know, you could do everything right what the number says, and you still might not get a hit, or you still may not get the guy out. That's why it's funny on how, you know, these analytics, oh, they're so important, they're spot on, da da da. Well, if the analytics says 99%, I'm going to swing through two pitches and then just sit on a breaking ball. Now I know the signs. So am I cheating? No, it's what the technology told me, you know? So I don't know, man. It's crazy. It's crazy whenever I talk to you, you bring up things that I don't even kind of pay attention to, and it's like, yeah, they haven't stole bases. Like, there's not a lot of guys that do anymore, and that's really strange.
And with the kind of the coronavirus situation, you have a son who was playing high school baseball, not going to be playing this year. What would you kind of say to kids right now who want to stay in baseball shape but really can't get out on the field?
Well, you know, it's I guess if you're a football player or if you play something in the fall, what I would do is I would kind of start working for your fall sport. But if you're only a baseball player, it'd be a great time to get some rest, shut your arm down, do whatever. But if you have to do stuff, you know, put a sock ball and have your dad throw it and you can hit it against a house if you don't have, like, softballs or baseballs or a net or something like that. Or throw a tennis ball against the wall in your basement or outside or play catch with your dad. You know, something like that. It's just a weird situation to where I would love to sit here and say my son's going to play baseball, but I don't really know if he's going to play baseball this year, which I guess we got to be okay with it, right? That's just kind of how it's going to be. But,
yeah, maybe.
You know, but see, people, it's funny, especially up north, you know, when you go inside and you do everything inside and then you go outside, you have to start basically all over because when you're outside, it's totally different from being inside. So you can take all the BP, all the ground balls, all the bullpens, everything inside. But once you go outside, you got to start all over. So it's kind of pointless to go back inside and start doing this and doing that. And then once you come back outside, you got to start all over again. So I don't know. That's a tough question. I mean, I guess do what you can. You know, my son's been walking around with his glove. We've been playing catch outside. You know, we've been contemplating on when we're going to go to the cage, me and him, just kind of get away and go do some stuff like that. But I don't know, play MLB The Show. I think that might keep you in some baseball shape, maybe. I don't know.
Now, a lot of people don't really, may not know this, but as much as Pete Rose Jr. loves baseball, he is a diehard Cincinnati Bengals fan. So tell me a little bit about your thoughts about your team this last season.
We stunk, and I'll take it on the chin. I mean, that's part of it. We stunk. But Joe Burrow, we're looking for an Ohioan to come back and take us back to the promised land. We signed a great defensive tackle the other day. We signed a good cornerback from the Vikings. So it's looking up. I mean, Zach Taylor, I mean, hey, trust the process. So we're going to trust the process. But I think it can only get better, right? I mean, that's the way we look at it. But, you know, from watching Joe play and watching him play at LSU, you know, what a talent, what a leader. You know, hopefully he comes and we, you know, I think it's a no-brainer. We take him and we just kind of let him. And if I'm the manager, if I'm the head coach, hey, Joe, go out and be Joe. I'm not going to let you, I'm not going to sit you. I'm not going to bench you. Go out and throw some interceptions. Go out and fumble the ball. Go out and do what you do, getting as comfortable as possible, and then let's rise. And I think once that happens, we're going to slowly but surely get back to where we were and maybe take it a step further. 2 days.
Was it a surprise to you to see Tom Brady decide to move on?
You know what? It was, but I guess it wasn't, because I think, you know, I think maybe him and Belichick are both happy, because now if Belichick wins, it's not all Tom Brady, not half of Tom Brady. If Tom Brady goes and wins, now it's all not half of Belichick. You know what I mean? Do I think they're going to win without one another? Maybe, but I think they have a better chance of winning with one another. It's kind of like, you know, me not going to war without Mittelstadt and Chavez and Medina and Vargas. I think I'll pass. And Stringer. I think I'll pass. I think I need those guys, because when we win all those championships, I'm not going to take any credit because I didn't do anything. It's all them.
Yeah, a lot of people think that he should just call it up, you know, hang it up right now. He's 42 years old. He'll be 43 when the season begins. Your dad played into his 40s, so I would gather you're kind of looking at this and going, age really doesn't matter if you got the stuff going on.
Absolutely not. I mean, why not? I mean, that gives us older guys a hope. Maybe someday they'll come up with a new knee replacement where I can actually put the uniform back on and play. Maybe they'll have an over 50 league or something. But, hey, that guy's in great shape. He takes care of himself. He works hard in the gym. Why not? I mean, why retire? If you want to play football, go out and play football. I mean, it's like anything else. Why retire just because somebody tells you to? I don't think it works that way, especially if it's not going to work with TB12. He's going to do it, and he's going to go out on his terms, I think.
Now, I did want to ask you about this. Now, this is just a rumor that I heard, that at times you've gotten a little bit of a heated argument with umpires at times. It's a rumor I heard. So do you have one you might want to kind of share with us that kind of is really memorable to you?
Man, that's a good question. You know what? I'll give you one. And I'm gonna throw my best friend, my brother, under the bus, because it was all his fault. But we were back in Great Falls in 2013, and I had got thrown out the night before on a bad call, or I forget what it was. So we come to the ballpark. It's a Sunday day game in Great Falls. We're playing the Idaho Falls Chuckers, and Raul Gonzalez was a manager for Idaho Falls. So I knew him. I played with him. Great guy, whatever. So me and a guy named, we'll just call him Cipo for that, and everybody knows who that is. He was my hitting coach at the time. So we get to the ballpark. We drive the ballpark every day. We have breakfast. So we get to the ballpark, and he all of a sudden starts, you know, are you going to let that slide? And I kind of just look at him like, are you going to let that guy get away with that last night? So basically he's like Mickey from Rocky. Now he's my trainer. Now he's my hype man. Now I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, yeah, hey, well, no, I'm not going to. So next thing you know, I feel like I got a robe on. I got Vaseline on my face. We're walking out to the game, and he's like, you're really not going to let this. You're not going to let him go with this. I'm like, I got this. So I go up to the plate. I remember I just lose it at the plate, Raul, who's across from me, doesn't, he just looks down. There was a girl who I felt bad for. The guy came out and covered her ears. I got kicked out. I handed in the lineup card first, so I knew I would get kicked out of the game, because if I don't hand the lineup card in, he can't kick me out. So I air this guy out. I air the other guy out. I get kicked out before any pitch is thrown, whatever. I remember I walk down. He gives me a big pat on the rear. I go into my office, and this is where the story gets better. I play Candy Crush for 9 straight innings. I send a bottle of something over to the other manager because he's my friend, apologizing to him. And then I actually sent a case of beer to both umpires because, you know me, once it's over and done with, it's over and done with. People don't want to realize that about me, is once I get kicked out, I'm usually in my office watching something, having a Molson, doing whatever, and it's over and done with. But that's the best story I have for you as far as getting thrown out. But that's all Pipo's fault for being the hype man and the good hype man he was on that Sunday morning back in Great Falls in 13.
How many levels of Candy Crush did you get through at least?
Oh my God, that was I think I drove home that night trying to find like gums or whatever those things are, the fruits. That's how much, I don't remember, but it was a long time. And we won the game, so, yeah, it was a good day.
Well, that must have made for quite an entertaining evening there for you. There, so, wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, you've had an opportunity to meet a lot of the most famous baseball players that have ever, you know, put on cleats before. So, are there guys that really kind of help, besides your dad, that have been a big influence on you personally, not only as just a player, but as just kind of an individual?
Man, that's a great question. I mean, there's a few managers, like, you know, Philip Wellman, Mark Berry, Dave LaPointe. I mean, guys that I would absolutely, to this day, I call them Skip. That I would just run through, you know, houses for when I was a player. As you know, those type of guys, a guy, Nick Capra, the third base coach for the White Sox, when I was a manager with the White Sox, really, really helped me. I mean, him and Ever Magallanes, who's another guy with the White Sox, a guy that you can really, you know, lean on and ask questions and stuff like that. But I mean, just a couple former managers, but, you know, I'll tell you, Robert, it's really been the journey that's made me the guy that I've been, from, you know, not being the big leaguer's son that got drafted first and went straight to the big leagues and played for 15 years, and then that was it. You know, I got drafted late. I didn't go to college. I struggled in the minor leagues and then made it, and then whatever happened, and then fought to get back there and became a better player. You know, after, you know, from playing independent ball and playing in some bad winter ball spots, and then, you know, being a manager. I think managing rookie ball was a great experience. And then going to manage in independent ball, probably the same thing. I think it's the people you meet along the way. And there's not really one, you know, maybe with the exception of those guys that I met, that I mentioned. You know, obviously my dad's a great shoulder to be able to, you know, have in your back pocket. But, you know, all those guys that I mentioned, you know, Cappy and Ever and you know, Philip, Mark Berry, Dave LaPointe, you know, those are guys you can call and they pick the phone up and you have questions about anything, managerial stuff, baseball stuff, life stuff, it doesn't matter. I mean, those guys, they'll pick up in a second. And I think that's, you know, those guys get it. You know, they understand that's what managing is all about. It's all about the, you know, the guys that you manage that, once they kind of go on, that you're there for them, and that's kind of the way to give back to the game. But I think it's been the journey, and you know what? People's asked me, I would have loved to have played in the big leagues for 15 years, but, you know, it didn't work out that way. But you know what? I don't think I'd change, you know, that's got me to this point. You know, I don't think I would change anything about it, maybe other than obviously playing in the big leagues longer. But you know what? I never got the opportunity to do that.
Well, Pete, usually in our show we end with Kevin giving a kind of a final thought about something going on in the world or in sports or whatever, but since he's not here and you're my guest for today, I'd like to offer that to you. So do you have a final thought for our audience out there to just kind of send our show out for today?
Absolutely. Let's see. with all this, you know, fire stuff going on and the NFL draft on the horizon, regardless if they have it in Vegas or not, just remember one thing. The number one pick of the draft is to the Cincinnati Bengals, the world champion, soon-to-be world champion Cincinnati Bengals. So everybody that's not on the train, you better jump on board. Joe Burrow taking us to the promised land, and when in doubt, who day, baby, all day.
That's an awesome final thought. Well, we want to thank Pete Rose Jr. for joining us this week. I am Rob Pannier, and I will see you next time on This Week in the Association.